What's up, everybody? This is Alex Kelly back here with another episode of the Furloughed Film Talks podcast with my brother co-host Ryan.
Hey, Alex, how are you?
I'm good. I missed you so much.
Oh, you had a very eventful weekend.
I did. I ran around the old Rangers ballpark and caught a lot of bands.
What are they calling it now?
The ballpark?
Yeah.
It's Choctaw Stadium.
Fun stuff.
Yes. I was at So What Music Festival this past weekend. But first, thank you guys for checking out this episode of the Furloughed Film Talks podcast. We're here on Memorial Day. Happy Memorial Day, Ryan. I am wearing the shirt of a blessed U.S. hero who's definitely not been tainted by drugs.
Lance Armstrong.
Yeah, definitely. Reoccurring guest of the show, Lance Armstrong. Reoccurring subject of the show, I think, is the better way of putting it.
Have we? Yeah, I guess we.
Like it's the been a, third episode.
It's been a minute since we talked about Lance Armstrong.
Yeah, should we rehash what Lance Armstrong did?
I'm sure people know.
I understand. Yeah.
Unless there's a bunch of Zoomers out there listening to us who don't know who...
Who the Armstrong. Testosterone one bald man was...
He had one. Did he have any balls?
He had one nut. Yeah,
he had one. Okay.
They had to remove one of his balls.
So this is what our podcast is now, talking about Lance Armstrong's balls.
Yeah, it's nut talk.
Nice.
Yes, this is not going to be a very coherent episode because we're going to be talking about a lot of different shit. And it's going to be all over the place.
Yep, and we're going to take a little break in the middle.
Yes,
for some chili and Chippendale Rescue Rangers.
Yes, because Chippendale, not the strip club. I think they make that joke.
They do make a joke about it, yes. At least in the trailer.
So we'll be talking about Chippendale Rescue Rangers at the end of this episode. It's on Disney Plus, a full-length movie.
They're very aware of what their audience is for this movie.
100%. Because it's definitely Andy Samberg and John Mulaney who voice Chippendale now.
Yeah, like all 30-something-year-olds are watching this, too.
Fuck yeah. You keep dropping your cards.
I know.
You should show respect to your shit.
I'm a little clumsy.
Also, we will be talking about Obi-Wan Kenobi, also on Disney Plus. Disney needs to start giving us our due.
Yeah, we
figure it the fuck out, Disney. I mean, we also do shit on them pretty regularly.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this is going to be like a rave review of their latest releases or anything. So,
I bet Chippendale will be.
Hopefully, Chippendale rescues the day.
I see what you did there. We will also talk about the movie that is sweeping the nation right now, as it did back in the 80s, Top Gun Maverick. It has led the box office this past weekend, just kicking ass all over.
Yeah.
Cool.
We saw it opening night with our old man.
Yes, who just called us. Called me, I guess. Yeah. He loves you.
I don't get invited to Thursday night dinners.
Oh, shut the fuck up. You golfed with him yesterday.
So?
That you golfed with him. I don't ever get to do things with my father.
Yeah, you do.
What?
You had dinner with him at the Katie Ice House.
With you?
No. I guarantee you the last time...
It was with you.
Okay. You say so.
It was, because I know this for a fact, because Mom didn't go with us, remember?
Oh, I remember.
Okay, I just... Oh, wait, did I not? Whoops. But we also have a surprise for this episode that I did not know about or didn't even think was possible until Saturday when I was walking around So What Fest. And I, well, actually not in that. Alexis texted me out of nowhere and was like, oh my God, guess who's here? And I was like, who? She's like, the guy from Jackass. And I was like, what the fuck? And it's Zach Holmes from Jackass, whose nickname is Zackass. Who got kicked multiple times in the balls at So What Music Festival.
I mean, someone needs to make a career out of that. Just getting kicked in the nuts.
Yeah, and he has definitely done that. He talked
good for,
to...
Good for him.
Yeah, I talked to him about Jackass, how he's gotten staph infections from cacti plants multiple times. I don't know what my dog is doing.
They just made one Jackass. Like, how was he... Is he on a Jackass tour, like, diving... I thought he was new for this Jackass.
Yeah, so he actually had an MTV...
Was there, like, tryouts or something where he had to jump in the cactuses?
That actually... How he joined Jackass is in the interview and how he was discovered.
Okay.
So stay tuned for that.
Wait, so you already interviewed this guy?
Yeah, I interviewed him yesterday.
What the fuck, man?
I sat down with him and had a nice conversation in the...
Son of a bitch.
The Capital One VIP Club.
How'd you record it?
On my phone.
Bitch.
So, what? I had the chance.
I thought you had set up an interview and we were both going to interview him. But no, someone's flying solo over here.
I did what I had to do. Jesus. For the pod.
Even Maverick doesn't fly solo.
He
brings along his partner to kill him.
That, oh, wow, Ryan. Spoilers for the 1986 Top Gun movie. Yeah. No, but we have a Jackass member on our show now.
Very cool.
Zach Holmes, very nice guy.
I guess maybe I should watch the new Jackass. I mean, I don't think I've seen any of the Jackass movies, to be honest.
Watch, so because Jackass, plug for Jackass, 4.5 just came out on Netflix about a week ago.
Is that like the making of?
Yeah, kind of. With like unaired skits from the ones that didn't make the original movie.
They would camp in theaters.
Exactly. Which is actually has one of him doing something baseball wise.
Really?
A little tease for people who want to watch Jackass 4.5. Okay. But stick around for the end of the episode for our interview with Zach Holmes. It's about 10 minutes long.
Sweet.
We had a really awkward, not really awkward moment, but like he just couldn't talk about something. And I was like, I kind of have to ask this question because, like, I want to see if he'll say anything. Uh-huh. I kind of knew he wouldn't, so.
Ooh, good tease there.
Yeah, tease for nice. The end of the episode. Ryan knows what it is.
Almost like you're teasing me with that rugged facial hair.
You're teasing me with the smell of chili outside this room, Ryan.
Chili is boiling away. Yeah. 24 minutes until we have to be back in the kitchen.
24 minutes. Well, let's get on it then. Okay. Before we get to the very first story that we're going to talk about, Ryan should pull it up on his computer so that we can look at the pictures and be horrified by them.
Okay.
Before we do that, remember, you can always find new information about what we're doing with this furlough. Jesus Christ. It's scary Winnie. Always be able to check out on Instagram at Furloughed Film Talks for latest updates and stuff like that, and also on Twitter at Furloughed Film for new episodes and updates on where we're going to be. We're going to be in Oklahoma City soon. We're going to be doing Oak Cliff Film Festival. There are no boobs on Ryan's screen.
Not bare boobs.
Just not bare boobs, but boobs. Yeah. Boobs. Wow. So I'll always be able to check that shit out. Subscribe. We actually got a rating on Apple Podcasts. Somebody gave us 5 stars.
And really?
I don't know who that is. So thank you to whoever that is.
I can hazard a few guesses.
Yeah. It was. I'll show you it later. It was not somebody that I think we know.
Oh, really?
Which is even cooler. Okay. But if you're listening to this episode, you've gotten the 5 to 10 minutes into this, and you're not abhorred by this yet, go rate us on Apple Podcasts. That would help us out a ton.
How many ratings we have? Apple Podcasts? We have.
I think 11.
Well, that's not bad. How many do we need for
200?
We're getting there.
Slowly. We hit the 2-year mark, so yeah. We're there.
Okay.
We need the 200 ratings.
Yeah. We're about 5% there.
Yeah, we're good. We're making progress. That's all that you have to do. It's a journey, not a marathon, whatever the fuck the saying is.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Whatever, fuck it.
Jesus Christ. And you're about to teach
shut the fuck
high
up.
High school English.
Control your anyways. But Winnie the Pooh is
Romney asshole.
Yeah, he kind of. Oh, it very much is. No context to that whatsoever. There is
talking about the dog.
Yes, Winnie the Pooh is now public domain, Yoshi, which means that we get scary Winnie the Pooh.
Okay, from CNET.com, Winnie the Pooh horror movie Blood and Honey ends badly for Eeyore. Oh bother! The adorable bear has only been in the public domain a few months, and he's already eaten Eeyore. Nobody tell Disney.
I give them so much props for using the name Blood and Honey. I cannot believe that. I can, actually, but I'm so excited that that's the name of this. Uh-huh. I'm very happy by that. Ryan, give a little taste of what Blood and Honey is going to be all about as we look at a picture of... One of the weirdest parts about this is Piglet is not really Piglet. Piglet is scary as fuck.
Yeah, Piglet has tusks.
Yes.
His tusks coming out of his mouth. Yeah. Okay, so the low-budget teen slasher-esque film from UK-based Jagged Edge Productions was shot in England and tells the story of Winnie the Pooh and Piglet turning feral after Christopher Robin goes off to college.
So kind of Toy Story 3 vibes.
Yeah, a little bit, but much darker.
Yeah.
In an interview with Variety, the director explained that Pooh and Piglet look for human prey after eating Eeyore.
And the only, way they kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Allude to that is, by showing Eeyore's grave.
Which is hilarious.
Yeah, which is going to be fucking crazy.
Yeah, so basically, Pooh and Piglet turn into, raging murderers.
Yes.
And, yeah, are out on the prey for...
Out on the prowl?
Yeah, on the prowl for humans. Which, yeah.
You could see.
It's a little outside of Piglet's kind of demeanor, but, you know.
But hey, he's
I guess
hungry.
When your lover goes to college, you have to start eating humans.
You're calling Christopher Robin Piglet's lover?
I mean, they're they're like, you know, platonic lovers,
I guess. Oh, okay. Are we platonic lovers? Is that where we're going to... We're brothers, so maybe I shouldn't say that out loud?
I mean, I think so. I think you can, say, you can say that.
Platonic lovers.
I think that's an oxymoron, though. A little bit
platonic, but yeah.
I'm gonna bring it back.
All right, cool. We're gonna we're bringing it back. No, when I first saw this, it was on where else? Twitter. Mm-hmm. It was just a photo of like I think it was the one that's up here. It was no, it wasn't that one.
Yeah, there's some.
There's like there's four. There's one of them in a car.
Apparently, Piglet drives a BMW.
Yes. Then there's oh yeah, they run over the person they kidnap. That's how they kill them.
Nice.
Yeah, there's that picture.
Very just dark, kind of slasher-esque.
Supposedly it's going to be dog shit.
Why would he say that?
Because the guy quite literally was like, yeah, we you know, we tried to like blend like the horror, but also like the comedy. And, you know, we knew we weren't going to be making something like amazing. But like, you know, we tried to go something for different. And it's like, all right, dude, like, what the fuck are y'all doing?
You have to say this is like super original because like... Winnie the Pooh just came out of
public domain.
Copyright.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, yeah. Have you ever heard of anyone else like taking an uncopyrighted franchise or IP and then like making something completely
outside? Like I haven't. And it's interesting because he also said, I think it was the Variety article that he said, where he was like, we had to be very careful with how we portray these characters to not, because supposedly like Disney still owns certain like aspects of those characters. So like if they were close enough to the Disney versions of them, Disney could claim copyright. And so they had to like basically make Pooh, like that's why he's wearing overalls and that's why Piglet has like the shirt and the tusks. So it's like obviously not the Disney version of the character.
And they couldn't use Tigger. Because Tigger was, like, original to Disney or something like that.
It's wild. It's going to be...
It's fun. It's fun.
It's fun. Oh, it's fun. Murder is fun.
Yeah.
Killing humans is fun, Ryan.
Murderous Pooh and Piglet is fucking hilarious.
It's
yes.
freaking wild. Will you watch this day one when it comes out?
Probably not. I mean... Is this going to be in theaters? Is it going to be in...
Hell no. I think it'll be, like, VOD.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see it, like, maybe the month it comes out.
Yeah.
Not the first day.
I'm definitely going to check it out. No.
Yeah, I mean, we'll check it out. Just, you know.
We'll definitely have a reaction to the trailer, because that will be...
Oh, yeah. I'm kind of more excited for the trailer than I am for the actual movie itself.
If the trailer piques your interest, will you watch it day one or two of when it drops?
Yeah, maybe day one. Well, we'll see what's going on.
We'll see what's happening.
There's better shit to be doing with my life than...
True, than watching a Winnie the Pooh ripoff.
Blocking out a Friday night to watch Blood and Honey.
What do you think the runtime is going to be on this thing?
Oh, like 80 to 100 minutes? No. Yeah, 80 to like 100 minutes maybe.
I would be shocked if it's longer than an hour and 35 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, 95 minutes, but
yeah.
Fuck you. Go fuck yourself. I'm piggyback off and Ryan. So,
cool.
Get it? Piggybacking?
Hilarious.
Yeah, no, it's going to be weird. I'm interested to say the least, but who knows what the hell it's going to be like. Ryan, Top Gun or Obi-Wan?
Let's...
Choose your own adventure.
Yeah, let's do Obi-Wan. Let's get the negative out of the way first.
I don't know if I would say negative.
I would.
Okay.
I would.
So, Obi-Wan, Kenobi, starring...
Ewan McGregor.
Executive produced by...
I don't know, Kevin Feige?
No, I mean, I was going with Ewan McGregor, but...
Oh, was he executive producing it?
Yeah, that's what Marina, she pointed that out as we were watching it.
Who's Marina?
I don't know. It's a person. So, no.
It's my lover.
This is set 10 years after Revenge of the Sith. Obi-Wan is now on Tatooine just cutting up meat and hanging in a cave of some sort.
Yeah, living in a cave, you know, trading with the Jawas.
He has completely given up as being a Jedi, and, you know, that's not going to last because it's an Obi-Wan series, and that just can't last. Yeah,
it's Obi-Wan.
Yeah. This has come out on Disney Plus. It came out this past Friday. The first two episodes dropped.
Yep.
I guess they're going to be doing, like, an episode a week of this Obi-Wan Star Wars story.
And it's a six-episode miniseries.
Yeah, which, like, what's his face? Ewan McGregor kind of teased at Star Wars Celebration this past weekend. He was like, in episode 7, and 8, and 9, and 10. And people were like, is it going to be 10 episodes? And, like, everybody was like, nah, dude, it's 6.
It's 6. Like, yeah. It's been in the marketing for a while now.
Yeah. So, it also stars Hayden Christensen.
Yeah, as
Darth Vader.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen the prequel trilogy.
Also, the guy from West Wing, whose name I never know, as well as Uncle Ben.
Not Uncle Owen.
Is it Uncle Ben or is Uncle Owen?
Well, no. Okay, so Ewan McGregor is Ben.
Obi-Wan Kenobi. So right. It's Uncle Owen.
It's Uncle Owen.
Whoopsie-daisy. Yeah,
you're getting your franchises.
My Disney mixed up.
Disney owns everything.
Marvel owns Star Wars. I think they own the comic book rights to it, too.
Marvel Studios?
No, Marvel, like the comic book company.
Which is separate from
Marvel Studios.
Disney Marvel.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's fucking confusing. Anyways, Obi-Wan dropped its first two episodes. What's up?
Oh, real fast. Did you get the, did you pick up the Moon Knight comic this week?
I haven't yet. I need to.
Okay.
I've been a little busy at the end of school. I'll probably do that tomorrow or Wednesday. I'll do it Wednesday.
Okay, cool.
Why? Do you want to start reading Moon Knight?
Is that No. I was just curious to see how it was.
Oh, yeah. I need to check it out.
I read comics through you, basically.
Oh, cool. Like, all right. I'll have... On that next episode we do, I'll have a full breakdown of...
Cool.
Moon Knight number 10, I believe it was.
Anyway, so episode 1 and 2 of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yes.
Plus.
With young Leia, which I was not expecting a...
Young Leia.
Yes. Yeah. 10 years old Leia.
Okay, we should preface for this, like... It does a long recap of, like, the prequel series.
Yes.
From
4 minutes long of recap.
Yeah, 4 minutes for, like, 5 or 6 hours of prequel.
Mm-hmm.
Which goes from, like, Anakin as a young child all the way through his training to marrying Padme, whatever the fuck her name is.
Padme.
Whatever.
Not a Padawan.
And then all the craziness that ensues. And
you are my brother!
I have the hybrid. Anyways, so it goes through that and then flashes forward 10 years. And then that's where you pick up with...
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, and so Princess Leia is 10 years old. She looks like she's 5 years old.
Yeah, she looks really young.
Yeah.
Let's stop there on commenting on the looks of a 10-year-old actress.
Well, just like her age. We're not commenting on her anything else.
Yes. treading all over here, treading so lightly.
Jesus Christ.
No, let's just give, like, initial...
Why don't we give, like, a Max Turnerhead rating of the first two episodes? And then we'll go from there.
I think I'd have to give it a solid 2.75.
For both episodes? Combined together?
Yeah, I'm combining them all together.
Okay.
Because it feels like you could almost, like, have put these two together.
And just as, like, one episode?
One long episode. I feel like that's basically what it was.
It's what we did, yeah.
Yeah, and that's... what I'm assuming Disney and Star Wars and Kathleen Kennedy, like, envision, or not even Kathleen Kennedy, John Favreau and all
she
them.
She must not be named.
Yeah, she who must not be named. So I think that's, like, what they're going for. And it's interesting because what I saw somebody say is that all of the footage that were in, like, the trailers for this the last couple months were from, now that we've seen it, are the first two episodes. So, like, none of the footage that we've seen is from the other episodes. So, like, everybody's flying blind.
Yeah, you really know what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, for the rest of the series, which I think is really cool.
Fucking Stranger Things, where they showed...
everything.
Yeah, footage from everything.
Really?
It's kind of... yeah, it's actually a little bit annoying. Like,
oh, interesting.
We'll have to talk about the first part of Stranger Things when we finish it, but there's, like, at least... a couple times each episode where it's like, okay, I saw this in the trailer. Like,
that's, yeah, it's annoying as fuck.
It's really kind of
annoying. So, anyways. Quick side note, I've only watched the first 30-ish minutes of the first episode. Ryan is all the way through all 7 episodes, I believe it is?
No. We're halfway through episode 5.
Okay, so you're farther than I am on Stranger Things. So I've got, probably this week I'll catch up and get to where I'm done with part 1, but that's Stranger Things talk.
So anyways, my rating first.
Yes, sorry.
I think it's going to be
buddy.
Probably a 2.0.
Okay. Yeah. I get why, because it's Why would you give it a 2 out of 5? Because that's what, like a, I'm so bad at math. That's a 40 out of 100.
Yeah, it's 40%.
Yeah.
Okay, so first off...
And mine's like a 60, I guess, right? 2.75.
I mean, just below 60.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Math is not my strong suit.
At all. It's like 55%.
Okay.
Okay, so first off, like, just the story is really silly, and I think... like retcons a decent amount of the original trilogy. Mm-hmm. And like a, I mean, I don't know. I think you could say if it like retcons any of the original trilogy, it could be construed as a negative thing.
Yeah. But I mean, like that's a problem with doing not, maybe not a problem, but like something you're going to inevitably do when you start doing new stuff of like a franchise that's like years separated from each other.
Well,
you are going to inevitably like fuck up continuity somehow.
Yeah, I mean,
you get what I'm saying? Because like,
I don't think it's inevitable though. Like, I don't think you have to screw the continuity in order to like make to like fill in these gaps between the prequel and then the original trilogy, right? Because like, you could have filled in the gap, like. When the original trilogy starts, right, we don't really know all that much about Obi-Wan. Like, he's in the first movie, but the only, like, I guess...
background?
Like, background. The background and his involvement in the original, like, trilogy isn't all that much, right? Yeah. It's, like, very, very limited. And so they're able... and then, like, really, really develop him in the original trilogy. And then that way, when you do, like, a... his own show and you're filling in the gaps between those trilogies, mm-hmm. like you can just kind of continue the story of the original, of the prequel trilogy that Ewan McGregor is in without screwing anything up. Right.
Yeah.
Because the children, because Princess Leia and Luke mm-hmm. aren't really in the prequel trilogy. They're yeah. children and they're just like, you know,
they're
like,
literally in, I think 5 minutes of the
very end of,
Revenge of the Sith.
Revenge of the Sith. And then they're hidden, they're dispersed. Like, we don't have anything to build off of, but you have a lot to screw up in the original trilogy by whatever you do with them in this series. So it's like, they haven't done anything with Luke yet because they don't have...
I really don't think they're going to, like... because I think the majority of this is going to take... but again, okay, this is talking about it.
Well, that's what I'm getting to, right? Like,
yeah.
Luke's not involved, at least in the first two episodes. They do a lot with Princess Leia. Mm-hmm. Like, the whole basic synopsis of the second episode is the Inquisitors who are hunting the Jedi use Princess Leia as bait to try and trap and catch Obi-Wan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like... everything that happens with Princess Leia in these two episodes, you have to sit back and be like, okay, how is this not, like, affecting the Princess Leia of, like, the original trilogy? Like, you would think if she had this hugely traumatic, like, series of events with Obi-Wan Kenobi,
yeah,
like, it would at least tie in somehow to the original trilogy.
Or been brought up.
Or whatever. But, like... they're really doing a lot to this child without, like, in really, I think, like,
destroying is a pretty hard, not harsh term, but it's a pretty hardcore term. I don't know the right word.
I don't know. You know what it's I'm like, saying. Let's take you back to, like, Loki, right? If you have, like, the sacred timeline of Princess Leia, like, you are seriously creating some fucked up branches off that sacred timeline. Yeah. By what you're doing in this series.
Because it definitely would have been something... like, what they're going for is... this person that I... like, going from the original trilogy aspect... if it's... I'm calling this guy who... I was used as bait to draw this guy out... like, mm-hmm. that, I think... yeah, I get what you're saying. Where, like, that would have been brought up. And I guess that's what I was getting at is... doing something this far removed from those movies is inevitable because... back when they were making those movies, like, Lucas didn't even know... like, he hadn't even made the decision that, like, Vader was going to be their father. Like, he had not made, like... and I think that's what I was trying to kind of get at is... once you have these franchises that get fucking massive, you start to put things in there that were not decisions made originally. Like, they were made kind of like a fly.
The original Star Wars movie was just supposed to be a standalone movie. Like, he had no idea it was going to be a sequel. He had no idea it was going to be a worldwide hit. But, like, that, all that to say, like, once you're finished with the original trilogy, like, everything's kind of set for those characters, right?
Yeah.
Like, you could 100% made an Obi-Wan show with keeping both children, Princess Leia and Luke, kind of out of the picture. Like,
yes.
If you had just made an Obi-Wan show, like, with Obi-Wan versus, or, like, trying to, you know, protect Luke and Leia with them being kind of very secondary to the story.
And not understanding, like, what is happening around them.
Right. And, like, really just involving, like, the Inquisitors and Darth Vader versus Obi-Wan and any other, like, Jedis that may be out there.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, doesn't fuck with, you know, the continuity of the entire franchise.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not even, like, all that upset. I just think that it's, you know, it does screw up with the continuity. Like, that definitely knocks down some points. But, you know, for, like, certain, there's, like, hardcore Star Wars fans that were, like, if they weren't already completely dejected by the Rian Johnson movie, like, this will be just another, like, straw on the camel's back where people will say, like, fuck this, I'm never watching a Star Wars thing again. I don't think there's many of those kind of people out there at this point because they've done, like, so much harm to the Star Wars franchise to date.
I don't know.
Then, like, that's like one side of it. Like, the story is kind of pretty weak so far, I think.
And let me just interject one thing real fast. If you had asked me a couple months ago, like, hey, Obi-Wan series, do you think they're going to do anything with, like, Luke and Leia?
I would have said, like, hell no.
I would have been like, yeah, probably not, because, like, they've made a pretty concerted effort with their Disney Plus shows to get away from what they've called, like, the Skywalker saga.
Right.
I was kind of surprised at, like, and I guess having Darth Vader in this makes that moot as well, but, like, I would not have thought that they would have involved these two in it. I thought that that would have been kind of like, would they have been shown? Yes. Mm-hmm. It would have been like, hey, like, what they did with Luke in the beginning of this episode. Like, there's Luke, and maybe there's Leia, but, like, not having one of the kids be an integral part of the entire fucking plot of the first two episodes.
And then probably had, like, 20 times the speaking lines that Obi-Wan did.
Yeah, like,
in, like, the second episode, right?
Yeah.
So there's that. Like, I, you know, I'm not in love with the story so far. Hopefully, like, really, this is just kind of
set up.
The setup for what's really coming. And then, like, there was this really strange thing where, like, I, like, highly disliked young Princess Leia. She's, like, super fucking annoying.
Which, that's just her. And I've seen a lot of that on social media where it's like, she's like, well, and it's more people being upset that people are upset that they don't like Leia, mm-hmm. or that they think she's annoying, and being like, oh, it's just in her character, and blah, 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 and, like, that's what she would have done, that's what she did in the original trilogy, and all this other shit. And I get that, like, I get that's who she was, like, she was kind of this wisecracking, like...
Yeah, but she wasn't like that. Okay, it's one thing to be, like, a 20-something-year-old and wisecracking, and probably at least have enough of life experience to be a wise ass. It's a totally different thing. We have a fucking 10-year-old, like, literally the 10-year-old is talking like she's 30 fucking years old.
Yeah.
Like, multiple people are like, how fucking old are you? Like,
but I think and that's supposed to go back to, like, her mom, Padme, was like, she was queen at 13, I think it was.
Yeah.
So it's supposed to be, like, wise beyond their years type thing. Like, supposed to be a, you know, one-to-one to her mom and how her mom had to, like, grow up super fast. And,
yeah, that makes sense. I mean, but anyways.
Like, I get what you're saying, though, because it's hard. It's hard being like, oh, that looks like a 5 to 7-year-old basically calling out fucking Obi-Wan Kenobi. Like, what the, like, Ewan McGregor, what is happening here?
Where I was getting at, though, is like, okay, you know, the main characters that are supposed to be your protagonists, like, I didn't particularly enjoy, right? Like,
no, you're not invested in them at all.
Princess Leia is annoying. Obi-Wan is just, like, lukewarm, like, really vanilla, you know, just whatever. He's like a washed-up old version of the Obi-Wan that we enjoyed in the prequel trilogy.
He watched his friend burn to half a crisp.
And then one of the villains...
Reva
is, like, super awful. No one's gonna fucking like her. And then, like, I found myself liking, like, the main bad guy. Like,
The Grand Inquisitor?
Yeah, like, I liked the Grand Inquisitor. That dude was fucking badass.
And then, spoilers. Don't say anything. Spoilers. 3, 2, 1. And
he dies.
Yeah, he gets stabbed in the fucking chest.
He gets murked by Riva.
Yeah, Riva, whatever.
I liked the other Inquisitor also.
I went to look up who plays him. Because at first I thought that was Benedict Wong. And I was like, and I actually looked that up. And it's definitely not Benedict Wong.
Yeah, it definitely is like another, is a Asian actor.
Yeah.
Who's, like, he was fucking awesome.
He's, yeah, I really like him.
Love Owen. I love anything, what's his name?
I'll look all that up, but continue your thoughts.
He was in Green Knight, so.
Oh, shit, he was. He was the husband.
Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah, he was the husband, like, in the castle or whatever.
Sung Kang. That's Sung Kang. No shit. Okay.
What's he been in?
Fast and Furious.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's Han.
Put on a little weight.
Yeah, that's prosthetics.
Oh, it's prosthetics, yeah. So, you know, it's kind
of... There's no fat shaming here. Joel Edgerton as well.
Joel Edgerton. Fucking boss. Have you seen, oh, God, what is it? Timothy Chalamet movie where he's a...
Call Me By Your Name?
The King, yeah. Joel Edgerton's in The King, too. So, yeah, there's, like, this weird thing where, like, the characters I think you're supposed to, like, aren't very likable. The characters you're not, like, really not supposed to, like, I found... to be more intriguing and interesting. Of course, Kamal Nanjiani, he's always great. Like, yes. You're going to always love his fucking character.
The Big Sick of fame. He's been in nothing else but The Big Sick.
Yeah, we're not going to mention Eternals.
Nope, not Eternals, not Silicon Valley, not anything else that he's ever been in.
Just Big Sick.
Just The Big Sick.
So there's that. So basically, you know, like, storyline, I'm taking off marks for that. Like, character development, I'm going to take points off for that. And then, like... I don't know if they like went back to green screen or they really were doing this in their like virtual set.
I think they were doing the virtual set.
My God, like something is going wrong here because you can tell it is.
Yeah,
like
the moment where she was
painfully
like
obvious.
The moment where she was like kneeled down and there was like the city behind her. Yeah. I was like, that's the set. Like that's 100%. Like you could tell.
But also, anytime they were like walking through the streets of Bayou, I think that's Dayu.
Dayu. Not the Bayou.
It's Dayu. Like literally, I mean, it was like they were supposed to have like neon street signs in the background and whatnot. Yeah. Like it's blurry. Like it's not even like. They couldn't even get the background in focus enough to, like, make it look real.
The yin to that yang is the practical effects that they used for some of the, like, extra characters in the streets of Dayu were pretty awesome.
Yes.
I like that a lot, especially the crocodile bounty hunter.
Oh, and then that, like, the fucking ridiculousness... of them having...
That's Star Wars, baby.
Oh, was that a crocodile? Or
some people are calling him a dinosaur. I don't know.
I thought it was a dinosaur with a fucking laser gun.
I'm going to call him a crocodile just to be different. Huh. Yeah. I don't know, man. But crocodile shit. And alligators and dinosaurs. I don't know where we're going with all that. Ryan's looking at Magic the Gathering stuff.
Yeah.
So you... I mean, I was not, like, impressed by these first two episodes at all. I felt like they were slow. Mm-hmm. Like... for basically what was like an hour and a half of runtime, it was basically just trying to keep Leia safe and like ducking behind canisters and boxes and shit for most of the second episode.
I mean, let's put it this way. Like this, I think this really wraps it up well. Halfway through the second episode, Maria fell asleep. So
yes, yeah, that was a telling of what was going on in the episode.
Not very interesting. I think the best part of... these two episodes were, like, honestly just the, like, very start. They had a Order 66, or Order 68 scene.
66.
Where, Order 66, where the Jedis are, like, getting murdered and murked, and, yeah. So that was decent. And then, like, I think that's basically...
Well, and you get a Darth Vader tease at the end.
With that was kind of fun, yeah. Seeing
with Obi-Wan realizing that Anakin is still alive, because I guess he's assumed he was dead.
Yeah, and then, Kneel, what was his name?
Kamal Nanjiani.
Kamal's character, like, doing the fake Jedi mind trick. That was kind of fun.
That was pretty good.
I mean, that's...
I don't know, I just think... And also, real fast, so supposedly Riva was one of those characters. Oh, it was one of those kids, one of the younglings.
Oh, really?
Who was running through the stuff. So, like, that's supposed to be Reva. She was that, and that's where Obi-Wan, kind of midway through the second episode, was like, some of them have, those Inquisitors have turned against their own kind, and
yeah, they're like Jedi. They're now hunting Jedi.
Yeah, so like that's her. That was her, like, being a youngling and being trained, and she obviously at some point got picked up by the Empire and became an Inquisitor, and wants to, you know, she knows that Darth Vader is Anakin and wants to make good on that and, mm-hmm. you know, get into his favor type of stuff. So
cool.
Yeah.
Well,
we'll see what happens. I'm interested by it. I'll be keeping up with it.
And yeah, for sure. I mean, we'll do our weekly viewing and yeah. recording and review.
Definitely this Friday.
Why is it every Friday? Have they been doing the Star Wars on Friday and then...
I think they changed... Wait, no. Maybe Star Wars is Wednesdays? I don't know, because they dropped the first two on Friday. And then I don't know when the next couple are supposed to be coming out. Obi-Wan Kenobi schedule. How to watch... oh, God. Just show me when. Oh, Wednesday. June 1st. Yeah, so the rest of them will be on Wednesdays.
Okay, nice.
Because it's the same as Marvel. Cool. So be checking out that. We'll have some more of that to drop very soon. But now it's time to talk a little bit of Top Gun Maverick, starring Tom Cruise, and his name literally just left
Val me. Kilmer.
Val Kilmer is in it as well, yes. Jesus Christ. Miles Teller.
Miles Teller
is in it, and Jennifer Connelly. And some other people.
We should,
John Hamm is in the movie.
He is in the movie. Yeah, we should get the name of the movie correct. It's Top Gun Maverick.
It is Top. I said Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah.
Yes. So Top Gun Maverick is what we're gonna. Glenn Powell plays Hangman. That's the guy. That's the name I was forgetting.
He was good. I liked him. Monica Barbaro plays Phoenix.
Yes, she was good too. Who's Bob? Who plays Bob? I want to know who played Bob right now. Lewis Pullman.
Lewis Pullman's a G.
Who's, I'm pretty sure he's the son of Bill Pullman.
Who the hell's Bill Pullman?
Bill Pullman. He is a noted actor who passed away a couple years ago. Ed Harris is in it. Just go to the Wikipedia for...
Oh, yeah. He's in Bad Times at World Out.
Yeah, so click on Bill Pullman. You all know who exactly. It's right there.
I know how Google works. Does Jesus right? fucking...
There he is.
Oh, yeah. Is he still with us?
Yeah. I thought he passed away. No. Oh, he is. Okay, he's still alive. My bad.
He's been in a lot of shit.
Apologies to the Pullman family for...
He was in Casper.
Assuming he was dead.
Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Yeah, great movie. So...
How dare you,
I meant that seriously, Ryan.
Better.
That was not sarcasm, or was it?
Ed Harris is in it.
Yes, I said that. Danny Ramirez is in it. He plays Fanboy.
Yeah.
I'm just going to start naming off random people from this movie.
You know who I really liked in this movie? That? Charles Parnell.
Who the fuck did he play?
He was the other guy with John Hamm. He was like John Hamm's second in command.
Oh, he was great too. Yeah. What was the we're literally just running through all these fuckers. What was the guy, Bernie? Bashir Salahuddin. He was funny as fuck too.
Oh yeah, he was like Maverick's little buddy.
Yeah, let's go with that. Okay. He was hilarious. I really liked him.
Look at this though. Top Gun Maverick has a 96% on Rotten Tomatoes.
And it deserves it.
100% deserves yes. that. Do you want to throw out our...
No, well, let's make people... 99% God. Audience score.
Damn, dude.
Yeah, that's impressive. So should we set up what the plot or synopsis is for the sequel to the original 1986 Top Gun movie?
Yeah, I'll go ahead here.
Go for it. Oh, he's going to just do it right off the thing.
Do you want to try and do it off?
No, I wanted to
off
see
the cusp here.
I wanted to see if you could do it off the cusp, Ryan.
No, I'd rather not. Our audience would rather I not. Mm. After more than 30 years of service as one of the Navy's top aviators, Pete Maverick Mitchell is where he belongs, pushing the envelope as a courageous test pilot and dodging the advancement in rank that would ground him. Training a detachment of graduates for a special assignment, Maverick must confront the ghosts of his past and his deepest fears, culminating in a mission that demands the ultimate sacrifice from those who choose to fly it.
This movie
slaps
kicked
my fucking, dick around.
Kicked fucking ass.
So good.
We saw this with Atticus.
Yep, who saw the original in theaters.
Yes.
We obviously did not because we weren't born yet. I mean, the original came out in, what, 86?
Yeah, 1986.
Yeah, so a few years before I grace this world with my presence.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Fuck you.
Anyways.
Let's, okay, so real quick. Just, like, don't, just gut feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Is this better than the original?
Yes.
Nice, okay. Obviously.
No, like, qualms or question. Absolutely better.
What you should really ask, though, is this movie better than Behind Enemy Lines?
I don't know what that is.
You don't know what Behind Enemy Lines is?
Nope.
That is like the peak of dogfighting / aviation movies.
Okay. Is it better than that?
Yeah, it's definitely better than that.
Yeah. I love how you tried to like build it up and you're like, this is an awesome movie, man. Like you should like, how have you not seen it? And it's like, yeah, it's fucking better.
Bro, if you love like fighter jets and like movies with fighter jets, or yes, if you like Owen Wilson, you'll love Behind Enemy Lines.
Did this exceed your expectations?
Were your
expectations pretty high, like going into it?
Not really. I mean,
really,
my expectations were like just above like a medium level of strength of expectations, I guess.
Alrighty then. Word salad. Fuck you.
I will fuck you up.
I will hit you again, and I will slap those cards out of your hands. Murder you. No, I thought this was... I'm going to jump right back in.
Okay.
I was very surprised at how emotional this movie was. And maybe I shouldn't have been, but you can do some things that are cheesy or dumb, like emotions-wise.
Emotionally?
Yes, emotionally. But they...
English teacher next year,
shut
folks.
Shut the fuck up. We don't know that yet. They pulled all the right heartstrings and went... And did everything in a really, like, classy way that made the fucking Val Kilmer scene.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm thinking of.
No, that was...
And the Great Balls of Fire scene.
They had a ton of class.
I thought they did everything in a really great way that served the first movie well, but also kind of put their new spin on it. And the end of the movie, like, the last was 30 to 45 minutes of the movie are some of the best that you'll ever see.
Yeah.
And I'd seen people be like, this deserves to be seen in a movie theater. If you don't see this in a fucking movie theater, you're literally doing a disservice to yourself.
Yeah, I actually kind of want to go see it again.
I'm seeing it again. Yeah, Ruxin wants to go see it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he wants to see it Saturday.
There's not much else coming out for a little bit, right?
Like, yeah, it's going to be pretty slim pickings for a while.
Drop the ball.
I'll drop your balls.
Okay.
No, yeah, it's going to be pretty light for the next couple months. The one thing that I've seen people kind of talk about that is like their one kind of gripe about it.
I have a really solid gripe against it. But
what's your solid gripe? Go for it.
No, like the
supporting, not the supporting cast, but like the new pilots. It's like meh, like not really, don't really care about them other than Rooster, who's played by Miles Teller.
Yeah, I mean, you're saying Bob wasn't great?
I love Bob. I'm saying this is what other people are saying.
Oh, okay.
What I am saying is I get it. Because they're not great. I love Bob. But Bob's your uncle. Bob's the uncle.
No, what was the thing in For All Mankind that they would say?
Oh, God.
Hi, Bob.
No.
Great show.
Yeah, if you haven't watched For All Mankind.
When's that coming back?
That's a great question. No, I think I get the criticism, though. Like, they're all pretty forgettable outside of, like, Hangman and Bob.
Dude.
Oh, there's a new season coming out next week. Hell yeah.
There's no fucking way. There's no fucking way.
Look up news. I bet there's interviews with the cast. Yeah.
Oh, my fucking God. No way, dude.
All right, so you're hearing live Ryan realize that one of his favorite...
You have no idea how excited I am right now. This just made my fucking year. How did they do this? Wasn't it just last year we were watching?
Yeah. It was at the old apartment.
Oh my God.
Wait, scroll down a little bit. Hold on, let me see the thing in my trigger.
This isn't real. I refuse to believe this is real.
Yeah. It's too... The Verge did a Yeah, no, it's real.
Holy fuck.
Want to do
June 10th.
Want to do a live reaction to the trailer?
You want to?
Sure, fuck
well,
it.
Well, I actually can't.
In the middle of Top Gun?
Yeah, let's finish Top Gun and then we'll circle back to...
Okay. No, I thought they did a amazing job with this movie. That's my criticism of the movie.
Okay.
What's your one big problem with the movie?
Oh, the scenes where he's trying to be romantic with
Jennifer Connelly.
With Jennifer Connelly are feel like they were written by an 11-year-old that has never touched a female.
Yeah.
Like, that's my big criticism. Like, those were so poorly written. It was, like, literally painful to watch.
Did you think that he needed a love interest? Like, I think he could have just gone without a love interest in this movie.
He definitely didn't need one. But I do think it... the same way that, like, giving Bond a love interest in the latest Bond movie, like, really added to, like, the depth of the story when he's potentially going on a mission he might not come back from.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So, like, I do think it was beneficial to have for him to have a love interest, but it definitely wasn't, like, completely necessary for the story.
Yeah. I could see that because, like, some of the lines between them were rare. But I think it also...
Some of the lines between them were, like, super bad.
But it also adds context to... She understands, like, his backstory. So when that scene where it's, like, the Great Balls of Fire, like, and he's standing outside, like, watching Rooster sing the song and Rooster's Goose's son, and, like, she understands, like, that pain that he's going through. So, like,
it does
add some kind of background to, oh, there is somebody there who understands exact... But, I mean, the whole... All the fucking, like... Navy understood that, so and then you have Hangman being like, that's Rooster's dad, like, so, like, there were other ways to kind of do that.
There's literally
like
a picture of them together, and you can tell
Goose and Maverick.
I love how they called him his call sign was Rooster.
Yes,
that was great.
Yeah,
that was super good.
That was the other thing that I wanted to touch on real fast. Miles Teller, I like Miles Teller. I don't like some of Aaron Rodgers, whatever. Him and Aaron Rodgers are buddies.
Yeah.
Feels weird. But he looked so much like fucking Goose from the original.
Yeah, they did a really good job.
It was insane. Like, the scene towards the end where they're, like, in the middle of Iran, I guess.
Yeah.
And, like, they kind of, like, pop up. Like, and they kind of, like, did a wider shot of the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, holy shit. Like, that looks exactly like Goose. Like, that was wild to me. I thought they did that perfectly.
They did that fantastically, yeah.
What would you give this? What else do you want to talk about with Top Gun Maverick?
Those are lit. I mean, we really haven't talked about, like, the actual flight scenes, which were amazing.
I want to watch that little featurette that you were talking to Dad about.
Oh, yeah, it was cool. And, like, not like the training scenes were cool. Like, they did those really well. But, like, the actual mission itself was, like, truly some of the best filmmaking in terms of, like, fighter jet scenes in movies.
The scene where they, like, go up and then they literally have to, like, basically turn backwards and then go down. The first time they did that, it was like, oh shit!
Yeah, when they inverted and, like, dipped over the side of a mountain.
That was... The whole fucking movie's crazy.
But then, like, the scene where they're dogfighting a fifth-generation Iranian airplane... Holy fuck. And, like, the scene where... Because, like, those jets, the way, like, they can... I don't know. I think it's called, like, vectoring, right? Where they, like, turn.
Yeah.
Like, normal F-18s and F-16s, like, they just move in, like, kind of...
Curves, almost.
Curves. And, like, the way that, like, fifth-generation planes can vector, they can literally, like, basically drift their fucking plane and wobble it. So, like, they can literally turn the plane around, like... In the air. They don't have to, like, go in a slow, like, motion. They can literally just, like, wobble and turn the plane around. And
that's
when Dad, like, when Dad saw that, he had no idea that fucking existed. Like, I'm sure, I've seen, like, that happen in real life with, like, F-22s. And,
yeah.
And, because, like, the plane they're flying is a, I think an Su-37 or something. So the Russian, like, fifth generation plane. Like, it's absurd what these fucking planes can do. So that was really cool.
And just the way that they had, like, the camera angles inside the cockpit, and you could see, like, everything happening outside of the cockpit, like, in that moment.
Yeah.
That was an incredible way of, like, filmmaking and making everything realistic as they were flying those fucking planes. Like, I can't believe half the shit they did in this movie.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so
incredible. We won't spoil this, but, like, the opening scene of this movie, like, what he's flying and, like, what happens there.
Yeah.
So fucking cool.
Yeah, no, they... I'm just in, like, I don't even know what the right word is to use. Amazed by everything that they did with this movie, and they were able to put together a sequel that builds upon the first one and is better, is way fucking better. They just did an incredible job with this entire movie. Yeah, so
it's super dope. Okay, so my Geno Max Head rating, which if you're new to the show, our rating is based off my 14-year-old.
Now sleeping.
Korean Jindo named Maximus. So we do out of 5 Geno Max Heads. For this, I'm going to give this a 4.5.
Okay. I was going to go 4.75.
And I think that's perfectly reasonable.
Yes. Yeah. It's one of the best movies of this year. I'm going to be fascinated when they get to the Academy Awards what the conversation is going to be around this movie and what they plan to do with it. But it should be up for quite a bit.
Yeah, I don't think it'll get quite a bit, though.
I think visual effects and like that type of stuff, I think it'll get a lot of nominations.
Yeah, maybe Best Actor, maybe. But it'll be a long shot.
Yeah.
It'll be on the short list.
No, for sure. So I cannot wait to see what goes down with all of that. But go check out Top Gun Maverick.
Very, very solid sequel.
And that's the greatest part about this is movie theaters have been kind of slowly coming back. Mm-hmm. This just kicked down the door, kicked somebody in the dick, and was like, we're back.
Also, if you haven't seen the original, you basically got two fantastic movies to watch.
Yeah, well,
meh. The original is super good.
Original is good. It's just like,
especially for its time.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's just like some of the lines in that are just like, what the fuck am I watching?
And it's homoerotic to the
as
to
fuck.
The gills.
Yes. So we're gonna react real quick to an trailer.
Yeah, we're gonna watch For All Mankind Season 3 trailer.
Yes, Ryan is, I guess, pulling it up on his phone or something.
Because I don't really have, like, a way to listen to it on the computer.
Ah, that's unfortunate.
Okay, you ready?
Yes, I am
so
ready.
Got a 2-minute trailer here.
The best show of 2021 returns June 10th. Oh, that's the tease.
The space station now.
So, they usually drop... Oh, him. Okay. We have a historic
opportunity. The first mission to Mars. We're going to Mars now.
Oh, so this is pre-2001.
Yeah.
Okay. So what year is this supposed to be?
It's supposed to be in the 90s.
Okay. Because what was the second season?
80s.
Okay. Because, yeah, they jump 10-ish years usually.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it does. Being first is what it's all about. To Mars. This is the resource that can support large scale human colonization. You want to tell us where the water is? The survival of my crew depends on it. So we're the Russians.
Okay.
Oh,
fucking hell.
They're just floating. When united behind a common goal, there is nothing we cannot achieve. Oh, she's running for Senate.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of the 8 original astronauts. Dude, it's going to be great. It's going to be fucking fantastic. So
I'm
now
intrigued.
There's a 3-way race between USA, Soviet Union, and a private
company.
Yeah, private company.
Elon Musk-esque.
Yeah, black Elon Musk, apparently.
Wow, Ryan.
He's a fucking dude.
He was
an African-American guy.
No, I'm excited for that. We'll see what For All Mankind is going to do. We'll have to react to the first couple. Do you think they'll drop all the episodes? Or they do weekly, too.
They do weekly, yeah.
Okay,
yeah. So we'll review as it goes.
Yeah, so For All Mankind dropping June 10th.
Yeah.
On Apple TV
Plus. Apple Plus. We will be back with, we're going to go watch
Chippendale
Rescue Rangers.
And also Zach Holmes here in a little bit.
Zach Holmes?
Jackass.
Oh, yes. It's going to be a long little episode.
It is, Ryan. Yeah, we're going to be off for a little bit, so.
Okay. Yeah. Toodaloo for now.
This is a live, instant reaction to Chippendale Rescue. Is that actually the name of this?
Yeah, Chippendale Rescue Rangers.
They didn't even change the name.
Yeah. Her podcast is now reviewing children's movies.
Hell yeah,
what's,
man.
What's the last kids movie that we did?
Star Wars. So, I have no idea. I could not tell you the last kids movie that we've done.
Okay.
This stars John Mulaney and...
Andy Samberg.
Andy Samberg and Seth Rogen and J.K. Simmons and a whole slew of people.
Will Arnett.
Will Arnett. Dude, I always forget his fucking name.
Yeah.
He was never on SNL, was he?
Yeah, I think he was. Wasn't he?
Is it... Fred Armisen that I thought was on SNL and he's not really on... He was never really... No, Fred Armisen was on SNL.
Yeah, Fred Armisen definitely was on SNL.
I don't think...
Will Arnett... Yeah, I don't think Will Arnett was.
Okay, Will Arnett's the one that I always think he was and then he's not. But he was married to Amy Poehler. Was married.
Wait, Will Arnett's married to Amy Poehler?
Was, at least, yeah.
Huh.
We're getting way off track immediately. I love it. They divorced in 2016.
Huh, interessante.
Interessante. Anyways, Chippendale Rescue Rangers, which is based off of the 90s TV show.
Yes.
Which was on Disney?
Yeah, the Disney Channel.
Yeah, Disney Channel, back when it was fucking good.
Yeah, what happened to Disney Channel?
They went mainstream and woke. Okay.
They went major woke.
Yeah, they just were like, you know what, screw the conservatives.
They have all the gays.
Wow.
Wow. Wow, 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 wow.
Ryan, what was Rescue Rangers all about?
The Chippendale. The Chippendale are back again for another adventure.
The strippers, there's, right?
This is basically Who Framed Roger Rabbit Part 2. Tunes are missing. We need to find out who's taking the tunes. Turns out that Peter Pan is all washed up and stealing tunes and make bootleg movies.
Yes, he was known as Sweet Pete.
Yeah, and now Chip and Dale must find their friend Monty, who was taken.
Monterey Jack.
Monterey Jack was in the original Rescue Rangers crew, and that's the entire movie. Them hunting down Monterey Jack.
Trying to find Monterey Jack.
And get him back from...
Free him.
Stinky Pete or whatever.
Ryan, what was your favorite part about...
What was his name? Stinky?
Sweet Pete. Sweet Pete,
yeah. Sweet Pete, yeah, yeah.
We're a little delirious.
Yeah, that was a kind of a trip.
Yeah. Ryan, what was your favorite part of Rescue Rangers? Chippendale Rescue Rangers. Fucking hell.
It definitely was all of the tie-ins, right? Like, mm-hmm. So they had, for example, like billboards with Dobby modeling for Gucci.
Yes.
They had billboards for Batman versus E.T.
Which was like, E.T. phone. Whatever the fuck he said. And Batman's like, fine.
Okay. Yeah, so like them bringing in like every possible franchise from like the 90s or like even modern day into it.
Ugly Sonic.
Yeah, Ugly Sonic. Everyone else. I don't know.
Lemire from Beauty and the Beast.
Stan from South Park was in
it. Yeah, that one I was really surprised by.
Yeah, I don't know who Seth Rogen's character was supposed to be from. But they had Seth Rogen from Lion King in it.
Yeah, and from Megamind. Or not, maybe that wasn't Megamind. One of the fucking, not DirecTV, holy shit, DreamWorks animated movies.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyways, so that was definitely the funniest part of this movie. Then just like... bringing in all these franchises and even ones they don't even have the fucking rights to. They were just like,
we'll figure this out.
Yeah, we're just gonna make it.
Also the sock puppet cop, that was really funny.
Yeah, I guess he was supposed to be like Gumby slash those voiced by J.K. Simmons.
Well, yeah, I was talking about the other cop that was literally a sock puppet.
Oh, fuck, yeah. He was in
for, like, the 3 seconds.
Yeah, most of these, like, cameos were, like, 2 seconds. Just like a quick laugh. And that's pretty much, I mean, what this movie was. It was, like, a really standard, like, I don't
nostalgia
know.
Trip type thing.
No, like, standard storyline. Just like, our friend's been kidnapped. He's like, find our friend. And then just all this, like, yeah, nostalgia, quick hit humor, which is really, really great. I enjoyed
always
it.
Fun. Yeah. Anything else that you got on Rescue Rangers?
No, what was your favorite part? Alex is very tired.
Yeah.
Very ready to go home.
It's very been a long week. Weekend. Fucking hell.
It's Monday, bro.
It is Monday. I'm done tomorrow, so I'm very excited.
With school.
Yes.
Not with life.
That'd be really dark if I just announced that on my podcast. And
I'm done.
Yeah, fuck everything.
With everything.
I get a phone call from mom at 5 o'clock tomorrow. Let's not joke about that.
Okay.
What was my favorite part of Rescue Rangers?
Yeah, what was your favorite part of Rescue Rangers?
I gotta say, I think the sock puppet shit was hilarious.
That was your favorite part of that hour movie was... Fucking sock puppet? Are you kidding me? Jesus, man. God. Great.
No, I think the fact that they were able to get, like, everybody, and it's 100% because it was the Lonely Island guys, you know, doing the whole thing with, you know, J.K. Simmons, Arnett, Andy Samberg, all those guys. Andy Samberg, obviously, is Lonely Island. But then you get, like, Chris Parnell in. And, like, Chris Parnell is one of those, I think that was, like, my favorite kind of cameo. Because they kind of had teased that, like, Dale had a agent and was, you know, had been ignoring him. And then you finally get to meet the agent, and it's Chris Parnell. I thought that was really cool.
That was cool, yeah.
Getting to kind of reunite the Lazy Sunday duo from their SNL days.
Yeah, this is interesting. So it is a co-production between Walt Disney Pictures, producers David Hoberman and Todd Lieberman's Mandeville Films, and The Lonely Island, which Schaefer and Sandberg are a part of. Created as a spiritual successor to Who Framed Roger Rabbit, the film takes place in a world where cartoons live alongside humans and centers on Chip and Dale. 30 years since the cancellation of their show, due to a falling out, coming back to reconcile the differences while they investigate the kidnapping of their friend and co-star, Monterey Jack.
Actually, let me rephrase. My favorite moment is the moment when they, like, fire off the freaking Mickey Mouse ears.
Oh, yeah, and they have Wish Upon a Star.
And it just and cuts.
And it just cuts, like...
I thought that was...
Six bars in.
Really funny. And then also the scene where you can kind of see where, like, Chip and Dale might get reanimated into, like, something else, and they have, like, all those different versions.
Yeah, I guess Chip gets a Snoopy ear
yes,
a little bit.
Because you see, like, versions of them as, like, the Simpsons and also as, like, Rick and Morty characters. Mm-hmm. And who did Eric Bana freaking voice? Because I did not realize. Oh, he was Monterey Jack.
Monterey Jack.
Oh, no shit. So okay.
Who is Eric Bana?
He played Hulk in the Ong Lee Chippendale.
Keegan-Michael Key was the cheesemonger.
Wait. Oh, that makes a lot more sense now. Okay.
Yeah, a Muppet-like puppet henchman who works for Sweet Pete.
That was amazing as well.
Tim Robinson was in it.
He played Ungly Sonic.
Oh, shit. Flubber was the DJ Snake.
That makes, again, a lot of sense. That
was
funny.
I mean, this show is hilarious.
Yeah, like, there has to be a sequel to this.
I hope so.
It was really well done, and they obviously were, like, just ragging on, like, fanboy reboot culture,
which really well. I wonder how they tracked the metrics for this, because I read that the budget was $70 million.
Yeah, which is insane.
Right? Like, how do they come up with the metrics to see if, like, they recoup $70 million?
I mean, it has to be, like, a mixture between new subscribers, which I don't think this would drive a whole lot of new subscribers.
It might. I mean, if... Like, people our age aren't subscribed yet.
Yeah.
Which, like, how many people our age are not subscribed to Disney Plus
already?
If they, like, were into either Star Wars, Marvel, or, I guess, Mighty Ducks or whatever. But,
fuck that show. Oh, my God.
Dude, okay, so Akiva Schaffer directed it.
Yeah.
And he's one of the Lonely Island dudes.
Yeah, which he was in a bunch of all... Well, yeah, it was Lonely Island, so they did all the digital shorts.
Yeah, which, oh, my God. Lazy Sunday has to be one of the best...
Oh, and he helps
pieces
out.
Pieces of comedy ever created.
He helps produce I Think You Should Leave, which is on Netflix.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that.
Well, that makes sense that Tim Robinson as well, too.
Dude, he's so fucking... Yeah, which that makes sense because Tim Robinson was on SNL, so that's how they probably all got connected.
Lazy Sunday is the greatest 2 minutes and 22 seconds of video ever created.
Yes, by fucking far. Set them on a course for fandom or stardom.
Except maybe the one with...
Natalie Portman.
Natalie Portman.
Yes. Ryan, what would you give Chippendale Rescue Rangers on the Max Jindo Head rating?
I think I would give it a solid 4 out of 5.
Yeah, that's actually exactly what I was going to go give it.
Really?
80%, it's pretty good. Max, stop licking your dick. We're trying to immortalize you in Furloughed Film Talks history.
Do you want to talk to my beautiful voice?
I will. No, if you haven't seen Chippendale Rescue Rangers, I definitely think you should. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a fun time for you and your family.
Absolutely.
Especially if you were born in the 90s or the 80s, as Ryan was.
I was born in the 80s. Yes, sir.
Freaking freak.
Yep, last week of the 80s. Mm.
But go check it out. It's on Disney Plus right now.
I literally just gave away my birthday.
Whoopsies.
Span of like 6 or 7 days.
Whoopsies.
Oops.
All right, guys. So... this is the time for interviews. This is our most favorite time of introducing people who we have interviewed for the show.
Uh-huh.
This one is a very special one because we didn't really know, didn't think this would happen. We didn't
this
know.
This was very impromptu.
Yes, it was. You know,
This is the benefits of being out amongst the people.
Yes, and also special shout out to Alexis for getting this one.
Okay.
She quite literally stopped him from leaving Saturday before I could come down from the press box.
Nice.
And talked him up. So
Alexis is Alex's boo.
Yeah.
That's not a joke. Her name is actually Alexis.
It's Alexis. So thank you to her for getting us the Jackass Forever star, Zach Holmes. And here is Zach. So what's your experience been so far this week?
It's been really fun. It's been really awesome to see all these cool bands like in one place.
Yeah.
It's hard to see everyone. It's almost hard to see everyone that you want to see.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Because there's so many stages. But, you know, I've been making it work. I've been running around everywhere. More cardio than I usually do.
Yeah, a lot of walking.
Yeah, a lot of walking.
I think I checked my steps. It was like 14,000.
Yeah, I should have had a steps app going. I fucked up there. That's
my bad. Do you have the health app on your...
I don't even know if I do.
Because it's... On mine, it was like... Friday
yeah,
was...
I don't think that's a thing. Yeah, I don't have that set up.
So what's like the best band that you've seen so far this weekend?
Best band that I've seen so far... We saw 303 the other night. 100 Gex was dope.
Okay.
We saw Sum 41. That was sick. Who else? I don't know. It's hard to pick the best. And I saw Shakewell and Ramirez and Puya.
Yeah.
That was dope.
I saw the video on Puya.
Yeah. That was my first time meeting him.
Okay.
So that was cool.
So, obviously. Jackass doing that for the first time.
And I saw it fight at first just a few minutes ago. That was fun.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, you've been running all over the place. You've been seeing fucking everybody. You know, getting on there, when you got the call that you were going to be like a part of Jackass, like what went through your mind?
Oh, I thought it was fake at first. I got a DM from some random account on Instagram.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Saying they were making like a 20th anniversary special. And I was like, okay, whatever. I'm going to follow up on it, even though I'm not sure if it's real or not, just to see what happens. And it ended up being, like, some, like, producer dude that I didn't know about.
And
then the next thing I know, I'm, like, signing an NDA, and I'm, like, in a meeting with Knoxville and Jermaine. Yeah.
What was that like? Just being, like,
dude, it was insane. It was, like, it was pretty gnarly just experiencing that and, like, walking into the room and seeing them. And it's, like, holy shit, like, I'm in front of these guys now. Hopefully we get to do something. I get to do something with them. Because I really didn't know yet that we're going to be making the movie.
Yeah. You probably get this question quite a bit, but what was, like, the worst injury
Injury that I had on, like, making the movie?
Yeah.
I bruised my clavicle and just my sternum and some of my ribs. Just when we were doing that slip and slide thing with me and Jasper. That fucked me up pretty bad. It hurt to breathe, like, for about 2 weeks after that.
Holy shit, not a couple days. Like,
no, it was like 2 weeks. I fucked myself up pretty bad. And then I got a staph infection from the cacti needles. Which that wasn't like, I mean, that was very uncomfortable with the cacti needles, but it wasn't, staph infection it wasn't that bad, but I've had a staph infection before from cacti needles that I did with Steve-O.
So like, probably should stay away.
That was my second time, needles. Yeah. So I'm going to try to stay away from cacti.
You guys kind of showed in 4.5 where, like, everything shuts down, but then it kind of, like, jumps 6 months. What was it really like when you got that news where it was like...
Oh, man. I didn't think we were... I thought they were going to shut down the whole movie, like, completely. I didn't think we were going to get to make the rest of the movie. I wasn't sure what was going to happen. It was, like, really gloom and doom, like, stuff, because I was hearing stuff about COVID before that, but none of us really knew, like, to the extent of what it was going to affect our lives.
Yeah.
You know, at that point. Like, we've been hearing, oh, this virus, well, you know... We all thought that was just, like, some made-up, like, movie thing. Like, you know, not really, like, made-up, but
yeah.
It just seemed like something out of, like, a fucking, like scientific, like, horror movie. You know, like, a fucking biological horror or whatever, something like
That's what it felt like the whole time.
Yeah, it just didn't seem like a real thing. I was like, this is insane. There's no way this is going to happen. And then it fucking happened.
Yeah. So when they finally gave you got the call that, like, you guys were going back, was that, like, that moment?
It was such a huge relief because it had been, like, months. And I was just, like, doing nothing.
Yeah.
And I was just like, dude, I don't know what's going to happen anymore. And then I get a call, and they're like, yeah, we're about to start back up. And, then we started back up, and it was just, like, it was different, though, because we had a COVID test before, and like right before we went to set, and then when we got on set, every day when we got on set, and then we had to COVID test all the time. It was crazy. And then I couldn't hang out with people outside of the movies because I was afraid of getting sick and not being able to film because that would have sucked. So, yeah, so I just like didn't see anyone but them for like, you know, a couple months filming.
Did anybody pop positive while you guys were on set?
None of the main cast did. there's a whole system where they have like zone A, and then there's all these different zones. So like if someone tests positive in a different zone, it won't affect the other zones.
Yeah, that's smart. Okay.
And so we were one of the first movies going back up in LA at the time when we came back up.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, there was like, I think there was like a couple case. There was like maybe like one case here or there, but it wasn't anything like, didn't affect any of us. Like we never like actually like were in that zone or talked to them. Well, yeah. So
what was it like kind of getting to release that movie after, you know, everything went down?
It was cool because then like they delayed the release. Yeah. Like
that trailer least, like, played a shitload in movie theaters.
Yeah. They played it a lot, and they're like, okay, we're delaying it, and I'm like, oh my god, this is like everything that I've ever done gets delayed. I'm gonna freak the fuck out.
Yeah.
So it was just like, fuck, dude.
Yeah.
I just didn't know what was gonna happen with that, but then eventually it finally came out, and that was awesome.
That's super cool. With everything that kind of, this is a harder question to ask, but like everything that was happening with Bam, was he ever on set with you guys?
I can't really say anything about that. I wasn't really like, I don't really know much about it.
Yeah.
You know, about that part.
That's always like a better question then. Yeah. As like somebody who's a fan of the original movies and then like not having that kind of integral part, what was that like for somebody who's been a huge fan of that series for so long?
Yeah, it was different just having new people in the movie, you know? Like, before, I didn't even know, like, it was just crazy that I was even in this movie, you know? So I was, like, trying to get used to that, because I was, like, wondering, am I gonna fuck up the movie? Like, you know, am I gonna fuck
this
up for the
fans,
you know? So, like, I was, like, wondering, like, the whole time, I'm like, dude, fuck, like, I hope I'm not gonna be the one to fuck this up for everyone. Like, oh, dude, we wish you was in this, you know? Like, I don't know. It's difficult, because, you know, there's a lot of hardcore fans, you know? And then, and it sort of, it reminds me of, like comic book fans, you know? How, like, serious they are about, like, superheroes and stuff, which, I don't really care about that stuff, but, like, some people are really serious about Jackass, and, like, you know, and all this stuff, so it's, like, you know, I'm happy that, like, most people enjoyed the movie, you know, even though it was, like, you know, it's how it was, but, you know.
So what was the reaction like for you when it came out and people were reacting to your parts in the movie?
It was, like, I feel like it was pretty good, like, reception-wise for me. There's a few haters here and there, but that's for everyone.
Yeah,
that's
for everyone. Thing.
But, yeah, no, I mean, it was good. It's been relatively good. Especially since 4.5, I've been getting, like, here, it's been insane. I've been getting stomped nonstop.
Yeah.
Like, the whole fucking time. Yeah.
Is that a new thing for you?
Like, it's like, relative. Like, I mean, I've had it happen before, but, like, now it's, like, it's a lot different. Yeah. Like, now.
You get stopped by random people asking to be on podcasts and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Like, when 4.5 came out, I sort of really haven't done anything. Like, I've sort of been, like, just staying by my, like, staying sort of just out, like, out of going outside. It's been staying in, you know, just hanging out with people and stuff, and then it's like the first public thing I've been doing since 4.5 came out, and it's a lot crazier than I thought, actually.
Yeah, really? That's awesome, though, man.
Yeah.
What do you think the future is for Jackass, and do you think there will be another one?
I hope so. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
I'm totally down. I know all the other new people are down, and I feel like, I don't know, that's just up to the OG cast members, you know, to see what they want to do. So, I mean, that would be awesome, but it just depends, you know? We'll see what happens.
Yeah. A little bit more serious one. I saw the ACAB tattoo, everything that happened this week in Texas. What was your immediate reaction to everything that happened there?
It's so sad, dude. Yeah. I don't know. It's like, I don't even want to go online right now, because it's just so
awful.
It's fucked up, dude. I don't want to hear about it. It's fucking sad, dude.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say.
Yeah.
Like, it's fucking gnarly.
Yeah. I'm a teacher, so it's like, it's hard seeing
dude.
That.
Like, that kind of shit, like, really gets me emotional. I don't even know, like, what to say. It's like, there's, There's some crazy
shit out there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what's the future look like for you these next couple years? What are you going to try to do?
I mean, I got a lot of... I'm working on a bunch of projects. Okay. I've got some different things that I'm really, like, stoked on. Just waiting to, like, be able to talk about them and, like, you know, release them and whatnot. It's like making different shows and whatnot.
That's awesome.
Just like, yeah, just trying to like be as busy as possible, writing stuff, trying to start acting too, and all that shit. So it's just, you know, but trying to do everything.
Yeah. Hey.
That's what everyone has to do now. Let's just do everything. So.
Well, man, I really appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah.
And talking with me. So yeah. I hope you have a good rest of your day.
That was Zach Holmes. Thank you to Zach for taking a couple minutes.
Yeah, mucho apreciado.
Out of his time, out of his day.
I'm sad I missed that one.
Yeah, you haven't even seen it, so.
Wow.
Doesn't mean he can't be sad for missing it.
Speaking of fucking up the continuity.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Okay.
But thank you. Why'd you take that from me?
Guys, you're going to break it like you broke yours.
What is that?
It's a USB thingy, multi-USB thing.
On is the Walmart brand.
That's where I got it.
Yeah. just calling Ryan out. But yeah, thank you to Zach for taking time out to talk to us yesterday. He was a super good dude. He is going to be having some stuff coming up. He kind of said that at the end there, so we'll see what he has going on in the future. If you haven't seen Jackass, it's out somewhere. Jackass 4.5 is on Netflix right now, so you can definitely check that out, as you should. Yeah, get it, Max. But everybody, thank you for checking out this episode. Ryan, it was a fun, packed episode.
I'm so glad we got to spend the afternoon together.
Yeah, fun food and chili, and thank you for taking care of my pupusas.
Oh, Danata. I guess I will have him again in 6 days.
Maybe.
Can't wait.
It sounds like somebody wants him to get trained, so...
I would... rather him he be anywhere else in here, but you know.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate it greatly.
You're welcome.
But anyway, thank you for checking out this episode. As always, check out the Twitter at Furloughed Film and at Instagram at Furloughed Film Talks. And also, go rate it on Apple Podcasts if you've gotten this far.
Yeah, give us a rating. Four favors.
You've made it this far. You might as well do more work for us. So thank you for your time and your service and whatever. But everybody, have a great rest of your week, and we will talk with you soon.
Adios, amigos.